Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
My brothers and sisters, those who are successful soon discover that they are the recipients of unwarranted jealousy and resentment. They are often resented by those whom they outperform. Sometimes they are resented by their peers, even by their social, educational, financial, professional, and political superiors. This was the painful lesson that David learned in his stormy relationship with the king of Israel named Saul. When David and King Saul first met, King Saul was happy to have the young, agile, and courageous shepherd boy from the plains of Bethlehem in his life and on his side. King Saul was in a crisis and did not know what to do. As commander in chief of the armies of Israel, King Saul had reached a stalemate in a war with the Philistines, and the future of God's people hung in the balance. For 40 days, Goliath, the giant Philistine warrior, had challenged the armies of Israel to send someone to fight him. If Israel's soldier was victorious, the Philistines would serve Israel as slaves. But if Goliath won, Israel would serve the Philistines. Young David, who had been sent by his father to check on his brothers and bring supplies to them, volunteered for the task to fight against Goliath. And to everyone's surprise, David killed Goliath and was victorious in what everyone thought was sure to be a suicide assignment. When David defeated Goliath, he became a national hero. A grateful King Saul made him a resident of the palace, and David soon became one of the king's leading warriors. Saul even named him commander of his royal guard. Now, while living in Saul's palace, David made another significant relationship. He met Jonathan, Saul's son and heir to the throne. Deacons, if there is such a phenomena as friendship at first sight, then such occurred between Jonathan and David. According to the scriptures, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then the Bible says Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And he gave David his armor, even his sword and his bow and girdle. New Providence and friends, life was going well for David in the palace of Saul. He was loved by both the king and his son. He was respected by the men he commanded. And God was blessing him with victory in all of his battles. David was virtually a walking success story. However, in the midst of his good fortune, while he was riding the crest of national popularity, an innocent remark was made that was perceived the wrong way. This occurrence caused David's happy and secure world to begin unraveling at the seams. And you know, my brothers and sisters, it is sad to say, but between nations, individuals, corporations, and even churches, more trouble has erupted, more misunderstanding has arisen, and more confusion has been caused by innocent remarks being interpreted the wrong way. Am I right about it? As David was returning from one of his military campaigns, some of the women who greeted him as he entered the city began to shout, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And when King Saul heard this innocent chant, resentment and jealousy began to fester in his heart. A heart that formerly had been full of admiration, praise, and thanksgiving for David has now turned cold. Saul muttered to himself, "They have ascribed David 10,000, and to me they only have ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?" The Bible says Saul began to eye David with suspicion from that day forward. And my brothers and sisters, once jealousy and resentment are aroused and suspicion begins to build, peaceful relations cannot continue. And confrontation is inevitable. Once jealousy is aroused and suspicion sets in, admiration turns to fear. Love turns to hate. Praise turns to criticism. Support turns to undermining. And affection turns to attack. One day while David was playing the harp before King Saul to soothe his troubled spirit, the insanely jealous king flew into a rage and tried to pin David to the wall with a spear. David fled the wrath of the king, gathered a few loyal men, and became a fugitive. David the warrior became David the hunted. David the national hero became David the despised. David the king's armor bearer became David the king's enemy. David the king's son-in-law became David the outcast. However, New Providence and friends, during all of David's trouble with King Saul, Jonathan remained true to his friend. Some of David's comrades and peers who had previously sang his praises when he was a rising star in the kingdom turned against him. And when it was no longer politically expedient to share friendship with him, they turned on him. Some of those who fought by David's side, with whom he had broken bread with and shared a common lifestyle, these same people turned away from him when he was no longer in the good graces of King Saul. But throughout all of David's troubles with King Saul, King Saul's son Jonathan remained true to his friend David. Once during the period in which David was an outlaw, Keilah, one of the towns of Israel, was being attacked by the Philistines. Before making a decision to go to Keilah to fight against the Philistines, David prayed and asked the Lord what he should do. And God told him to go and fight against the Philistines because the Lord would give the Philistines into his hand. David and his men went to Keilah, and God used them to defeat the Philistines and rescue the citizens of Keilah. When news reached King Saul that David and his men were at Keilah, Saul gathered his fighting forces together and prepared to go to Keilah to attack David. Now, what's crazy about it was Keilah was one of King Saul's towns. But instead of being grateful to David, he decided to attack David. Listen to me good. Once Satan afflicts one with jealousy and suspicion, that person is subject to lose their sense of reason and good judgment. The person will forget who their real enemy is and begin fighting their friends. They are unable to appreciate the help that their friends and allies are trying to give them. So they strike out at their friends and supporters with a vengeance that they ought to reserve for the real enemy of the kingdom of God. When David learned that King Saul was preparing to come to Keilah to attack him and his men. He again prayed and sought guidance from the Lord. He asked the Lord if the people of Keilah, whom he had just rescued, could these people be counted on to be loyal to him, or if they would turn against him and turn him over to King Saul. The Lord told David that those whom he had just helped would surrender him to the king. So David fled Keilah and hid himself in the wilderness. David must have had his moments of discouragement as a fugitive on the run from King Saul. Not once, New Providence, but twice, those to whom he had been loyal, those whose battles he had fought, those for whom he had risked his own life for, had turned against him. Saul had driven him out of his presence because of jealousy, resentment, and insecurity. And the people of Keilah drove him out because of their ingratitude. But through all of David's trials, Jonathan remained true to his friend. Jonathan sought David and came to David in the wilderness where he was hiding out. My brothers and sisters, acquaintance may inquire about us, but a true friend, if there is any way possible, they will come to see about you. Am I right about it? True friends are not content to receive secondhand reports about our condition. True friends are not satisfied until they can lay eyes on us for themselves. Jonathan, unlike his father, King Saul, was able to find David in the wilderness. And you know what, New Providence? We can't hide from our friends. They can find us when no one else can. We may pretend that everything is all right and succeed in hiding our heart from others, but we cannot hide our true feelings from a true friend. For he or she will know when we are in the wilderness. They know when we are hurting, and sometimes they know where we are hurting. No matter how much we smile and say all is well, true friends will know the real truth. They may not always know what the problem is, but they will know that something is wrong. They know when we are in the midst of a wilderness experience. Jonathan was David's friend, and thus he visited him in the wilderness. You know, Jonathan could have sent a message, but there are some messages only a friend can bring. A third party may be able to deliver the words, but that person cannot carry the passion of a true friend. Jonathan could do like a lot of us would have done. could have sent David some money. While money is important, there are some things that money cannot do. Money can't listen when we need to pour out our souls. Money can't give us the warmth of human companionship. Money can't bow on its knees and pray with us and for us. Money can't speak the word of comfort or the word of correction that we may need to hear. Jonathan visited David in the wilderness and strengthened his hand in the Lord. Jonathan was a true friend, not simply because he came to David, but also because he came with the right spirit and the right message. Jonathan went to David to help rather than hinder. He went to encourage rather than discourage. He didn't add to David's bitterness by rehashing and recounting all the unfairness that David had experienced at the hands of his father, King Saul. The words of Jonathan reminded David that the anointing he received from the prophet Samuel was still good, and that the word which was given to him as he knelt in his father's house was still true. Jonathan told David, "Don't you dare be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." My brothers and sisters, Jonathan, in essence, was saying to David, "Hey, friend, you may be down now, but you shall rise again. My father the king may have a long reach, but there is an arm that's longer than his." Listen to me good. Jonathan had to be a true friend to make this statement without either bitterness or envy. After all, deacons, as Saul's son, Jonathan was the heir to the throne of Israel. In order to say what he did, Jonathan had to be willing to forfeit what would have come to him. He had to be willing to actually give up what actually was rightfully his in order that his friend may gain it. Jonathan had to be willing to sacrifice his claim to the throne so that God's will would be done in the life of his friend David. All I'm saying is Jonathan was a true friend. Now, as I prepare to close this message, as good as a true friend as Jonathan was to David, we have another true friend. And this friend I'm talking about surpasses any Jonathans that we may know. We have a true friend who not only sticks with us closer than a brother, but we have a friend who is nearer than breath and closer than hands and feet. We have another true friend who sacrificed all in order that we might gain. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." This true friend that I'm talking about gave up a throne so that we might sit on one. He uncrowned himself so that we might receive a crown of glory that fades not away. He gave up the garments of eternity that we might forever dwell in heavenly places. This true friend I'm talking about visited us in our wilderness when Satan's lies and our rebellion forced us into the wilderness of sin and death. Our true friend visited us and strengthened our hand in the Lord. Christmas is the observance of the coming into the world of our true friend. Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is the remembrance of our true friend's sacrifice for us on the cross. Easter is the celebration of our true friend's victory over the devil, death, and the grave. I want to know, who is this true friend? Who is this friend that you and I can count on? I want to know, is there anybody here who knows what his name is? Won't you call out his name? Jesus, I said, Jesus is our one true friend. And the songwriter wrote, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The greatest name on earth. Oh, Jesus, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him?" The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is one name." Point your neighbor and say, "One name given unto man, whereby we must be saved." And that is the name of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I can say Jesus is my true friend. That's why the opening song today was "What a Friend." Yeah. we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We carry griefs and struggles because we do not carry them to our friend Jesus. And the thing about it is, you know he can handle it. You know he can handle it. He doesn't get frustrated and blown out of proportion when we come to him with our situations. He already knows. He knows how much we can bear. And then, you know, what I really like about Jesus is that when I'm going through, he draws closer. Hallelujah. Anybody ever felt the presence of God drawing near to you and strengthening you and keeping you together when everybody else is falling apart? It's a blessing to have at least one true friend. And my brothers and sisters, I'm suggesting to you today, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you are missing out on having the best friend that you've ever had.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.